And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday. As we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, in Genesis 2:21, we find that God causes Adam to fall into a deep sleep. Now, interestingly, there is actually no mention of sleep prior to this, only rest. This leads us to speculate, but carefully, that this might have been the first instance of sleep. While Adam is sleeping, God takes one of his ribs and closes up the place for which he had taken it. Essentially, this implies that the first surgery was performed on the only man who had no one to bring him flowers yet. Oh. Next, in reality, the woman was created from the rib of the man. God took the rib and fashioned Eve from it. The breath that God originally breathed into Adam continues to breathe of Eve and every person ever born beyond Adam's existence. It's very cool. The man was created from dust, not dirt, and the woman was created from man. It's not difficult to deduce that women are a refinement of man's creation. However, it's important to remember that this was before sin entered the world. And then finally, verse 25 states that Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. And that's impossible to ignore. There was no shame in being naked because there was no sin. There was no uncontrollable lust because there was no sin. They were naked and everything was great. They felt no shame. But after sin entered the world, innocence died. And shame came in with a vengeance. There is no freedom from shame without the redemption of Jesus Christ.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and so much more. Remember, it's not professional radio. How do you know it's not professional radio? Because of the 36 mistakes I made in the first 30 minutes. That's how. It's just radio. But we're still asking you, what do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live right now. So in San Diego, it's 1203. In Denver, it's 103. In Dallas, it's 203. In Detroit, it's 303. It's all right there. You can just text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Wow, a telephone, huh? 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, my friend. We'll be doing Jake's Take in a little while, you know, but talking to you is like knowing that you're talking to somebody who's got your back. That's a nice feeling.
Yes, it is. Thank you, David.
You're welcome. covering people, taking care of people, right? Okay, here's the deal. Let me make this really clear. Number one, we're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to just share with you, give that opportunity. If you've got a praise report, you got a praise report, you know what? Share it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've got a prayer request, bring it. Let's pray about it. If you got an answer to trivia, I'm going to ask you your trivia in just a second. If you got something you want to comment on, something that has really moved on you, something the Lord's blessed you with, guided you in, directed you in, just move on it. Just share it because it'll bless other people. It always does. You'll have that opportunity. It's open. You'll have that opportunity to listen to history. You might think that's a little weird. It is a little weird. You'll have an opportunity to hear a joke. Is it funny? Nah. Some are. Some aren't. Yeah. I guess that depends. Let's start with the trivia, the Bible trivia. Here's your question. You guys should be able to get this, but give me a chance to finish the question. Which prophet foretold a great drought which would cease at his word? Was that Jeremiah, Daniel, or Elijah? Your answer is in 1 Kings 17:1, which should be a key all by itself. Which prophet foretold of a great drought which would cease at his word? Is that Jeremiah, Daniel, or Elijah? 1 Kings 17:1. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, I'm going to send you up to... No, we're not going to send you anywhere. We're going to do our DNA. I had to think about that for a second. So let's do our DNA. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Every day. If I sing like this every day, will you spend time with the Lord every day?
See, you got to do that. Get that? Okay, that's a great way to do that. Spend time with the Lord every day, period. That's what you got to do. Draw closer to the Lord daily. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come in glory with my Father. Luke chapter 9, verse 26. Ouch. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means it is not all about us. Uh-oh. That's so hard. What do you mean it's not all about us? OPM, people. Other people matter. And we can't just focus on ourselves. We put all our energy on just us. We are robbing ourselves from life. It's a terrible idea. In fact, when we bring more people into our life, God adds into our life. And that's how we want to function. That's what we want to do. And when we do that, we directly reflect the mission of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. And when we do that, we're honoring Jesus. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. That's an absolute. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's an absolute. And A, always be ready to serve. Doesn't mean you're serving every 10 seconds. You're always ready. That's our A, and that's an absolute. Okay? Okay. It's all right?
It's all right.
All right. Good. We have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. How are you doing?
Well, about the same, but I'm going to keep praying.
And we're going to keep praying for you. Did you have a decent weekend?
Yes. I stayed pretty much. Well, I went to the store, but other than that, I pretty much stayed.
Okay.
Stayed in.
Stayed in. Just took it easy?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
In my condition, I pretty much have to, really. But.
Well, and I recognize that. I got to say, I kind of copied you in that sense. I did everything like from a chair. I just didn't do a lot, you know what I'm saying? I was like, nope, got to get this done. So I just was like blazing away. So I kind of felt like I went nowhere. But that was okay. Sometimes it's okay to kind of chill out right where you're at. All right, well, let's answer the trivia question, and let me pray for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, which prophet foretold of the great drought which would cease at his word? Is that Jeremiah, Elijah, or Daniel?
It was Elijah.
That is correct, Amundo! I I just find that it's such a fascinating, you know, element, the whole thing. But I also found it fascinating that he makes the prophecy. But then after he makes the prophecy, you know the Lord's going to fulfill the word, that he still prayed that the Lord would fulfill it. It's just like, wow, that's a kind of an interesting dynamic for a prophet, you know, when he's like praying for its fulfillment, even though he's proclaimed it. I always found that to be kind of a fascinating element in ministry. So I don't, this is me being nutty. But let me pray for you and on your health real quickly. So let's do that. Okay. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up our brother, Gary. We ask you to bless him. Of course, we want you to bless him in all the areas of life. But, Lord, we're being specific, and we're asking you, when those blind men came and you said, what do you want? Well, Lord, we're being very specific. We want you to heal brother Gary. That's what we want. We want our brother to be healed, to be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want that to be poured upon him in the name of Jesus. We want him to find full bodily redemption. And we ask you to bring healing into him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, that you would bring healing into his life. And it would be a touch that nobody could deny was from the hand of God. That's what we're praying for. We're praying for your miracle power in Gary's life. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you as well.
And I'll be praying for all of you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, so we're going to go a little different before we get into the text. I do want to do Jake's take, so we're going to kind of jump into that right away. So let's have Jake's take enter the situation. All right, my friend, Jake, the floor is yours. What was your opinion about yesterday's experience there on Sunday?
I thought it was a great game. Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers in overtime, 25-22. Yeah, it was a great game. I thought for a second that it was going to be a really boring game because the Chiefs started out really slow, but ended up becoming a back-and-forth game. And, yeah, by the end, Chiefs came out on top and won back-to-back Super Bowls 2 years in a row.
Wow. Now, how many Super Bowls has the Chiefs won in the last, like, 10 years? What are they on, like, four or
this
something?
Is our third.
Third. So yep. They've won three.
Yep. And this is their fourth overall because they won, I believe, Super Bowl three or one of the really early ones.
Really
a long
early.
Time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they've won three. And how did their quarterback do?
Mahomes, he played really well as always.
Okay. So yeah. Was he the MVP?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
He was.
Is that three of them for him?
Yes, it is. Okay. He has three MVPs, three Super Bowl trophies now.
Okay.
Yeah, he has. He's not even 30 yet, too, so he's going to be up there as one of the best. Yeah.
He's going to be one of the best. He's not quite to the level of the Brady, though. I mean, right?
No, that's... no. He still needs four more Super Bowls to tie because Brady ended up with seven. But, yeah, he has a ways to go. But...
a little bit of ways to go. Yeah, right. When they're halfway, you can start talking about. Anything in particular that came across you found as interesting about the game or some interesting information?
Yes, so I have a few interesting facts about the game last night.
Fire away, brother.
So last night's Super Bowl 58 was only the second Super Bowl ever to go to overtime. The other being the 2017 Super Bowl 51 between the Patriots and the Falcons. That was a great game, too. And then Super Bowl 58 lasted 74 minutes last night, which was the longest Super Bowl ever and the seventh longest NFL game ever.
Wow.
Yeah, so top 10 longest NFL game ever. However, though, Super Bowl 58, even though it was the longest game ever, it was not the longest Super Bowl broadcast. The longest Super Bowl broadcast was Super Bowl 47 in 2012, and that wasn't due to the game. That was due to the power outage in the New Orleans Super Bowl, or Superdome, that delayed the game 34 minutes. Do you remember that game?
I barely remember that, but yeah, that's just... So this one was longer without a power outage.
Right. If there was no power outage in 2012, it would have been the longest Super Bowl last night's game.
Wow. I do want to point out that Eric has made sure everybody understands that an interesting fact is that Taylor Swift was shown 13 times on the Super Bowl. And here's so you're going to give Dave's take. Ready?
Okay.
All right, get ready. Here's my take. Ready? Interesting game. Mm-hmm. Back and forth. Kind of interesting, right? The commercials have failed us, people. There was nothing else to be said. You're not going to justify it. You're not going to come up with anything good. I'm just going to say it really simple. The commercials they have left us. When one of the top commercials was a Popeye's chicken, that, and I mean, how sad is that, right? I mean, that's just so sad. So when I came in, I mentioned this to both Jennifer and to Jacob, that the days of the Dorito commercials where the guy has the magic eight ball and he goes, "Do we get Dorito snacks for free?" And then he goes, "I say the answer is yes." And he throws the eight ball at the vending machine, breaks the glass, and takes the Doritos. You see, that's funny. There was nothing in the commercials that was funny like that.
Yeah, well, it makes sense the commercials not being good anymore because there's not really any good comedy movies being made anymore either.
It's so sad. It's so sad. And then they try and do all the woke joke, broke, and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and Eric's saying they showed Taylor Swift 13 times. Not surprised by that.
Yeah. This is Dave Sadnow. People are like, well, you know, they're supposed to be doing a spiritual show. This is a spiritual show. A lot of people watched it, and here's my take. They need new commercial writers. And people are like, oh, it was really neutral. No, it wasn't. All you had to do was watch it. And quite frankly, it was pretty boring. It's pretty boring when I put that on pause, even though I have it on TiVo, and then I'm watching a cartoon somewhere else. That should tell you everything you got to know.
Yep, the last few years, I usually just mute my television during halftime and during commercial breaks.
I'm sorry. See, back in the day, this was funny. With that! See, that was funny. I mean, come on. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
Tell me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
Not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. Well, that's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here you go. Who learned about the ways of the Lord from Priscilla and Aquila? is that Paul, Timothy, or Apollos? Who learned about the ways of the Lord from Priscilla and Aquila? Was that Paul, Timothy, or Apollos? Your answer, Acts chapter 18, verse 24 through 26, is where the scriptures explain the answer. 972-445-0770. That is the number to call, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Your trivia question, who learned about the ways of the Lord from Priscilla and Aquila? Was that Paul, Timothy, or Apollos? Again, your answer is Acts 18, 24 through 26. So people want to know what I thought about certain commercials that were done in the name of the Lord. Anything that gives woke a platform is not okay. Anything that gives homosexuality and transgender a platform is not okay. Sorry. As you will see in the scriptures we're going to review, it ain't permitted. So I'm just going to give you that answer for those that want to know. Okay, to the text we go, and we are at that point now where we've already talked about, we're in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. It says this, "So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the place from which he had taken it. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib and brought her to Adam." So in Genesis 2:21, we find that God causes Adam to fall into a deep sleep. At this point, there's not really a lot that we know about sleep. We know about rest. That's in Genesis 1. God said, you know, God rested. But there's not a lot of sleep. So this is technically the first sleep moment. Pretty interesting. But this is also the first surgery moment, because God does some kind of surgery on Adam. I think it's rather funny because he gets the surgery and then there's nobody to bring him flowers and visit him in the surgery room, which is, of course, the Garden of Eden, until God is done doing what he's doing. So the woman, she came from the rib of man. So God took the rib and fashioned Eve from it. So the breath that God originally breathed into Adam continued to be the breath of Eve and every person ever born beyond Adam's existence. God breathed into Adam. He took the rib, made Eve from it. She was alive, still from the breath of Adam, the one that God originally gave him. Every person then from Adam and Eve who existed came out of that original same breath. You are alive because God breathed into Adam. Okay, again, God didn't take the dirt of the earth. He took the dust, the top layer. Man was created from the dust, and the woman was created from man. It's not really that hard to figure out that a woman is in a very, very real sense, a refinement of man. There's nothing weird about that. It's like, I could totally get that. I mean, yeah, because God took the rib and made woman out of the rib. But that's all before sin, and it doesn't matter. Because once sin comes in, everybody's just a mess, and it's just really quite that simple, so there's nowhere really to go. So what's important about understanding this is the establishment that takes place in this relationship. God brings Adam, Eve. Remember, none of the animals, nobody else. It's got to be somebody so close to him. It's so connected to him. It's a part of his rib. It comes from his rib. And Adam in verse 23 says, "She shall be part of my own flesh. She is part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman." That's how closely associated man and women are, because she was taken out of man. This is the defining declaration of the relationship for men and women. Not for men and men, and not for women and women. Sorry, It's right here. You don't have to go very far. When we get into the next verse, it gets broken down so specifically that it's inescapable. Right? But the initial pattern for marriage, for relationship, and for the continuation of human existence is established right here. You don't have to be a theological genius to read it and go, oh, that's how he set it up. All you got to do is see Kindergarten Cop and watch one scene and you'll know what's going on. And all the other stuff's just rubbish. And I have to say it. So this isn't even political. This is just irritating. So you just put up with it. Please. I'm asking nicely. Look, because somebody doesn't feel a certain way means nothing. 2 + 2 = 4, unless one of the twos doesn't really feel like it. I mean, that's just absurd. And this whole idea, well, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm a man or a woman. Really? Because the real answer to that is this. God is not the author of confusion. Confusion comes from Satan. The reason that you're not sure is because Satan is tagged into your mind through others or through yourself allowing him in there and creating confusion. The confusion of a person not knowing is satanic. It's demonic. And when the leaders of the world and the politicians and even preachers who are false preachers declare otherwise, they're teaching lies. Sorry.
Oh, that's so mean.
Sorry. That's the truth. What did Paul say in Galatians? Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And so when we get back, we're going to kind of tag into that. There's no escaping this. There's no... Jesus made it clear in Matthew 19. Here it's clear in Genesis 2. There's no escaping it. And to try and justify it's absurd. But to spend entire ministry on it, that's absurd too. Okay? Should be a little bit equality with things like adultery and everything else, but that's a whole separate issue. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Okay? We're going to answer the trivia question. And then we're going to take our break. And then we're going to come back. And we're going to have to stay in it because this is where we're at. So, who learned of the ways of the Lord from Priscilla and Aquila? Was that Paul, Timothy, or Apollos? And your answer is Apollos. Acts chapter 18, verse 24 through 26, when they pulled him aside and helped him understand the way of the Lord more clearly. Even though he's on fire from God, he had to get more insight from those who got it better. And so that's what the process is and part of the teaching. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the Internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been, organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And the to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip, and in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone, I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone, the question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's – and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready for our next trivia question. Ooh, a tough one. Who sang a victory hymn after Sisera's defeat? The General Sisera. Who sang a victory hymn? Was it Jael and Gideon, Deborah and Barak, or Hannah and Samuel? Who sang a victory hymn after Sisera's defeat? Was it Jael and Gideon, Deborah and Barak, Hannah and Samuel? Which one? Judges chapter 5 is your place to check it out. And your hint is the answer has a phonic connection to a former president. We'll see if you guys can pick up on that. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website and encourage you to check all the stuff out on the website. Plus, if you've got a praise report, you can put that information on the website. You can also fill out a prayer request. You can also find out if you want to get some brochures or bumper stickers for free for the show. You're welcome to do that as well. Plus, there's a place to give called the donate button. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
There you go, right there. All right. Who sang a victor? So now your answer is phonically connected to somebody that used to be a president. Who sang a victory hymn after Sisera's defeat? Was it Jael and Gideon, Deborah and Barak, or Hannah and Samuel? Who sang a victory hymn after General Sisera's defeat? If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who sang a victory hymn after Sisera's defeat? Was it Jael and Gideon, Deborah and Barak, Hannah and Samuel? And again, your hint is it is a similar phonic to a former president. A, B, or C, which one is it? Reach out to us and let us know what you think. In the meantime, we're going to do history. History, history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, today is Plum Pudding Day. No idea. I mean, I love pudding. I just don't know.
I don't know if that sounds good.
Okay, all right. Well,
I've never had it, but
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound bad. Pudding cannot be bad. I just don't know what plum pudding is like. Paul Bunyan Day. Paul Bunyan Day. I think it's, they came. Didn't Paul Bunyan come out of Michigan or Minnesota somewhere like in that area? There, it's like a guy who big. You know who he is?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nobody knows. It doesn't matter. Here you go, though. 1879, the first artificial ice rink opened up in the United States of America. In 1879. 1908. Remember the movie Mad World? Well, guess where that really came out of. The first around-the-world automobile race from New York to Paris via Alaska, Siberia, Russia took place in 1908. The first around-the-world automobile race.
It's a long race.
That's
wow.
A long. That is a long, 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 long race. I find that fascinating, though.
And where was the ice rink at?
Ice rink was, I don't know. It was somewhere in the United States. Somewhere in the 48.
I'll look it up. We'll get back to it.
All right. Before we get into our teaching, we have Rosalind needs, it's got some prayer. Her mom had a really tough night, so we want to be praying for her mom, for Angelina. Let me just double check and make sure I got the information correct, because I don't want to. She just had a rough weekend, so we just want to pray for her to be feeling better. Plus, I need to pray for my brother. He's going through a little bit of a tough time as well, so take a few moments and join me in prayer. Please offer up your faith with mine. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We just want to thank you and praise you for the awesome things that you have done for each one of us. Lord, we don't even realize how much you protect us and keep us safe. That's what's amazing. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for all of this graciousness. And we want to be strong in your grace. So, Lord, we're going to stand firm in that grace. I'm going to ask you, Lord God, to bring healing for Angelina, for Rosalind's mom. Just please touch her. And she's able to do a little better, but Lord, she needs to get out of where she's at and just get better altogether. And we need you to be the great physician in this. We have the faith that you are able, and we ask you to do that, to enable Angelina to be whole by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to lift up my brother to you. He's going through a tough time. Hey, we all go through that, Lord, I know, but Lord, he just needs to be encouraged in the faith. I pray that you would put a song in his heart and mind and draw him closer to you. We got a lot of people, Lord, that listen to our show that are going through a tough time. Comfort them. You are the God of comfort, and we pray that you would bring that comfort into their lives. Lord, we love these people. They're a part of us. They're part of our lives. And because they're important to us, Lord, they're important to you, and they're important to you anyway. So please bring your grace and your kindness and your healing and your comfort and your calm into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so be praying for them. Please keep praying for people. It's very important that we pray for one another on a regular basis. Okay? All right. Who sang a victory hymn, a victory song, after Sisera's defeat? Was it Jael and Gideon? Was it Deborah and Barak? Or was it Hannah and Samuel? So was it A, B, or C? The answer is one person's name is very similar to a former president. That should make that relatively easy. 9-7, right? Doesn't that make that easy? Right? I mean, that's kind of like, I think it is. Did you get the hint? I'm just making sure.
No. Oh, I do have info, though, on the...
On the ice rink?
Yes.
What'd you got?
So the first ice rink was in London.
Okay, where's the first one in the United States, though? Where's that one?
It was in the old Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Yep. So New York had the first ice rink?
Yes.
Wow. No wonder they all have, like, a cold attitude. Okay. Just moving on.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Okay. If you think you know the answer for trivia, again, who sang a victory song after Sisera's defeat? Jael and Gideon? That's one. Deborah and Barak? That's two. Hannah and Samuel. That's three. Your answer has a name similar to a former president. Hello. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. By the way, you answer Judges chapter 5, verse 1. Judges chapter 5, verse 1. Back to the text we go. I want to finish this because it's something that must be finished and we're not jumping over it. So let's back it up. So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the place from which he had taken it. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. At last, Adam exclaimed, she's part of my own flesh and bone. She's part of my own flesh and bone. That's how closely we're all connected. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man. This explains, this is verse 24, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. The two are united into one. Now, before we get into the exegetical element here, we have somebody that's on the phone. I don't know if they're there to answer the triv question or not. If they are, we want to make sure they have that opportunity or just something to share. Is somebody ready to answer the trivia question? They are. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging on by a thread, but I'm here.
All right. You sound a lot better. You sound better.
Yeah, I'm doing good. My voice is better. And thanks for all the prayers out there. We appreciate that.
Oh, you got it. And I want to pray for you again today,
thank you for
too.
Mention me.
You got
and
it.
Your prayers. Appreciate that.
All right. I'll set up the trivia question, and then we're going to pray for you again, my brother, okay?
That sounds good.
Okay, all right.
That sounds good.
All right, who sang the victory hymn after Sisera's defeat, this General Sisera? Was it Jael and Gideon, Deborah and Barak, or Hannah and Samuel? Judges chapter 5, verse 1. Who sang that victory hymn after?
It sounds like Deborah and Barak.
That is correct, Amundo! That is why I said the answer has a similarity to the sound of a former president. See, Deborah and Barak. I mean, come on. That's good. You got to be able to pick that up one. That was a good one, right?
Yeah, thanks for the tip.
You got it. Let me pray over you, my brother. I want you to get better and better and better. So let me pray over you.
Yes, we're on our way up.
All right, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We just thank you for Brother Ace. We love him. And we ask you to just to bless him and encourage him, Lord. Now, Lord, he's got an uphill. He needs to go upward. We need him to go upward and not downward, just like your word says. When people are obedient, that they go upward. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to bring healing power into him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Give him strength, vitality. From Colossians 1:29, your energy that goes inside of his body. So he can find the healing power and he can walk in strength and newness of life. Pour it on him, Lord, and let us be able to rejoice with him. We petition you on his behalf. Say yes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Appreciate the powerful prayers.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
Amen. Appreciate you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, don't forget to keep praying for our brother Ace, brother Gary. You got these people you got to be praying for. I need everybody to be praying. Praying, 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 praying. Why? Because prayer changes the universe. That's why.
Politicians.
Who cares what politicians don't change anything. They make things worse. All right, here we go. Well, most of them, I should say. I shouldn't give them that blanket judgment, okay? I'll just pull that back a little. All right, let's go back to this text, though. This explains, verse 24, that why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. The two are united into one. What does that mean? This is the pattern for marriage, for relationships, for the continuation of human existence. It's established right here, nowhere else. Genesis 2:24. Now, it's unfortunate that there is such a pervasive, perverted spirit of confusion between the sexes, male and female. If there are only two sexes, refer to the movie Kindergarten Cop for a direct reference point. It's clear that man was incomplete without woman, and woman could not be complete without the man. Period. And in 24, it sets the standard relationship that people should follow. A man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one. When a woman and woman get together, or a man and man get together, they cannot create naturally. This formula continues for all humanity. Notice there's no perversion of this in any form. It's simple. Adam is seen as the father, Eve is the mother. Their offspring will be seen as their children. These children will then unite with others of the opposite sex and start their own family unit. That's the illustration of Scripture. Anything else is a lie. Sorry.
Well, I don't think that's fair.
Tough.
Well, I don't like it.
Tough. It's what the Scripture teaches. So you don't like what God has to say? Go argue. Let me know how that goes. I have a feeling it won't go that great. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
All right, Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. This was the first psalm that was read to me when I went to Bible college, the very first class I ever took in Bible college, a bazillion years ago. Let me just say that. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their suffering. Here is something to consider that will be just absolutely a mind-blower. How should you and I respond if the earth falls out of its rotation? Okay, so my brother-in-law works for JPL and is actually one of the people that helped write the program that helped land the Mars rover on Mars. He helped write the computer programming, okay? He's much smarter than me in those realms, okay? About my age, a little younger, about my age. Very, very intelligent guy, right? And he's the one I always make a joke, you know, what keeps the Earth, you know, rotating. And so you'll hear me say that it's on a perfect 23.5 degree, a rotation from the moon and from the exact rotation from the sun, or it's three mice chasing a piece of cheese in a wheel. One of those two. So the idea behind that and that whole story is the Earth is in this absolutely perfect rotation with the moon and the sun, and without it, the Earth would go through a free fall. Just even a half a degree off, it's over. It's all over. I mean, there'd be instant tidal waves. Everything would just be upside down. And if that ever happened, you know, you would know that's the end, although that's not how the end's going to happen. We already know from Scripture. But here's what the psalmist is saying. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if your world seems like it's upside down. It doesn't matter if it's out of rotation. It doesn't matter if the mountains fall into the sea. It doesn't matter if the waters roar. God is a refuge, and a refuge is a shelter in a storm. You would first think of a lean-to. That is what a shelter in a storm is. So when it's raining, you find a lean-to, you put something on a tree, you put it against something else, and you get under it so you're away from that. And it says that God is a refuge, a strength, an ever-present help, which means he's helpful today, not just when it's all settled in eternity. And there's that lies a problem for some Christians is they keep thinking, well, in the sweet by and by, everything will get worked out. Well, that is true, that everything will be completely worked out in the sweet by and by. But God is an ever-present help, which means for today and not just for tomorrow. And then the position of the psalmist is, therefore, in other words, it's a conclusion. So God is our refuge and strength, okay? So he's our lean-to in a storm. He's our ever-present help. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready to do our last trivia question. A joke or two, and then finish off on the teaching. Been a little bit of fiery teaching today. But also good to hear from Brother Ace and good to pray for people. And know that they're doing well and getting better. That's also good. Here's your final trivia question. Who asked Philip if anything good could come from Nazareth? Who asked Philip if anything good could come from Nazareth? Was it Barnabas, John, or Nathaniel? Your answer, by the way, John chapter 1, verse 46 is your actual answer. Who asked Philip if anything good could come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? That was the question asked. Was that John, Barnabas, or Nathaniel? Your answer, of course, John chapter 1, verse 46. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we have a couple of jokes. You ready? Yeah? Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. Now, I'll just do both of them. I'm going to do the shorter one last because you like the shorter ones. I mean, that's just the truth, right? I mean, you do like those, right? Okay. There we go.
Save the best for last.
Okay. A husband proving to his wife that women talk more than men showed her a study that indicated that men use, on average, only 15,000 words a day, whereas women use 30,000 words a day. Well, she replied, that's because women have to repeat everything they say when they're talking to their men. What?
What? Do you want from
wait,
me?
Wait, wait,
I'm
wait.
Not a comedy writer.
You missed that one. See, the end line was, what? Say that again. See, that was the last line. See? See, you cut that off just a little early. See, because then he goes, what? And then she has to repeat it. Yay! And see, that's why women talk that you're using 30,000 words versus 15. Because you got.
That was better. With the punchline, I made it better.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, here we go. You will love this. Ready? Why did the melon and the honeydew have a big wedding? Why did the melon and the honeydew have a big wedding? Because they cantaloupe. See, they cantaloupe. Cantaloupe. Come on, that's a good one. That's right up your alley. Okay.
We're so strange.
All right, let's just finish off. Okay.
I think that was the first time you've gotten multiple claps.
That's the second time you've said that. All right, here we go.
That's right. Did you get one last week?
Yeah. That's why.
Maybe
that's
I'm
why
just warming
funny.
Up to the jokes. I don't
there
know.
There you go. Getting a little funnier, or you're getting older. One of the two. All right, who asked Philip if anything good could come from Nazareth? Was that Barnabas, John, or Nathaniel? John chapter 1, verse 46. If you think you know, 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483 is the text. David@hemustincrease.org is the email. Here's your last verse for today, verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2. Says this, now, although Adam and his wife were both naked, neither of them felt any shame. Wow. Although they were both naked, neither one felt any shame. What do you mean? Verse 25 states that Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. And it's impossible for us to ignore this. There was no shame because in being naked, there is no sinfulness. You see this connection? There was no uncontrollable lust. Because there was no sin. They were naked and everything was fine. When there's not sin involved, then there's no shame. But when sin entered the world, innocence died. And that's the key component for all of us. Remember it says the day that you sin, you'll die? Part of that death is this. The physical death was coming. The spiritual death was immediate. But in the process, things like innocence died. And then shame came in riding on a wave right behind it. and there is no freedom in shame. It is just a degrading, debilitating process. So when Jesus came to redeem us, he redeemed us from the shame of sin. He redeemed us from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. So when shame entered, it was because sin had been opened. The door had been opened, and everything that comes in with sin came running behind it. Spiritual death. Physical death, shame, selfishness, and you know, every self-centered element. The idea that you want what somebody else has, this covetousness element. Every single thing came in behind that open door. But before that door was there, before that door was opened, there was no sinfulness in it because there was nothing but innocence. And then innocence was perverted. Now, I'm going to blow your mind with this connection because some of you will get this and some of you won't. And it's okay. I mean, this is one of those things. You just got to think about it. But when you first became a Christian, there was so much innocence in your Christianity. But after you seasoned in the faith for a while, some of that innocence, for many, seems to have gone by the wayside. And that's because we've let sin back in. Will it separate you eternally from the Lord? No. But it'll pollute what was once completely good. Get it? All right. Who asked Philip if anything good could come from Nazareth? Was that Barnabas, John, or Nathanael? According to John chapter 1, verse 46, it was Nathanael. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's like a very sarcastic way to ask that question. And the response was, well, come and see, because that was the only good answer you can come up with. All right, folks, that will do it for today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.